What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Howdy, this is the Views from the Shop podcast. I'm your host, your one and only host, Tim Miller, and today it is Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025, and I wish you a very, very, very happy Pet Tech CPR Day. Today's show, well, last night, actually, let's start there. I sent out a message to our paid subscribers on the Substack, and I just asked, hey, what should we talk about? I'm happy to go through the four, five, six players that have publicly been linked to Ohio State. I can do that. I'm just not sure how entertaining that is. So I got some ideas, got some topics, some things to talk about, and then, lo and behold, I'm laying in bed. You know me at this point. If you've been here for a while, you know me. You know I go to bed early, right? So I'm laying in bed and something props me. Maybe the spirit of Brutus himself nudges me and says, go open your phone. That could be just addiction to blue light. I don't know. Open up the phone and there it is. Sean Stewart entering the transfer portal. And guess what? Well, we have a topic for today's show. So before we get into this, a lot of new people here. First of all, on X, at the Shop Pod, we've reached 1,000 followers. That's a nice little milestone to have. Looking forward to the next 1,000 followers, of course, but a lot of new people here. So this is the only Ohio State basketball exclusive podcast publishing content year-round, and by year-round, I mean at least once per week, no matter the time of year, even if it's in July, if it's in the season, obviously, when it doesn't feel like there's anything going on, I'm still putting out content on Ohio State basketball because me personally, I feel like the program deserved that. That's part of why I started this show. So subscribe here if you're into that. Doesn't mean you need to listen to every episode, but just subscribe so that it's here for you. Should you need something to listen to as you work out, as you mow the lawn this time of year, as you go for a walk, a hike, a long drive, whatever the case may be, would encourage you to subscribe, follow on the socials at the Shop Pod on Instagram and on X. You can subscribe on YouTube as well. If you feel really friendly today, if you're enjoying the sunshine, even with the shocking news of Sean Stewart, I'll talk about how shocking that is actually here in a second. Leave a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Really appreciate that on Spotify, of course. Shout out to the Nut House. Viewsfromtheshoppodcast.substack.com. Again, viewsfromtheshoppodcast.substack.com. Go there once and subscribe. You can do it for free, and that will give you access to more coverage as well on Ohio State basketball, a place to read about what's going on with Ohio State basketball. You can also sign up for a paid subscription. Ask me for a free week trial. Immediately when the Sean Stewart news hit, I was out texting with some people and dropping some nuggets of information there on the paid Substack. The other thing I like about that Substack, by the way, Twitter is a very, very toxic place. Social media is toxic. This fan base, kind of toxic, okay? First step of solving a problem is admitting you have one. And as a fan base, I think we need to step up and all admit, kind of have a problem. With how toxic we are, it's not so toxic there. I really appreciate the people who are there. It's a nice community. And sure, people disagree at times. And some people are very pro Diebler and believe in him. Others, not so much. But we can speak about it civilly. So I appreciate that as well. Those are all the ways that you can follow the Views from the Shop podcast. So today, I want to talk about Sean Stewart. Had a lot of topics to talk about, but we are going to talk about Sean Stewart entering the transfer portal last night, a couple minutes past 9. This is actually a good thing, though. Not that Sean Stewart enters the portal. I'll talk about if it's a good thing later on. But for me personally, it was a late night getting into bed with the wife about 9 o'clock. Usually we're in bed by 8:40-ish, getting ready for bed, doing our final prep for the evening to get ready for sleep. Early to bed, early to rise. I like it. Okay. So getting ready for bed and realize it's like 9 o'clock. It's 9:05. Still haven't fallen asleep. Just now getting into bed. This is later than normal. And then again, check the phone and there it is. There's the news that breaks on Sean Stewart. So it was a surprise to a lot of people. Here's what we're going to do. Okay. So we'll talk about obviously Stewart entering the portal. We'll talk about the background. How did this happen? What was going on behind the scenes of things that I've heard? The reasoning for why Sean Stewart is entering the portal. We'll talk about that. And then the player. Is this a loss? Is this a big deal? Is it not? We'll talk about that as well. And then to close the show, we'll talk about what now? Where does Ohio State go from here? The background first, though. I remember having a conversation the Saturday before Selection Sunday. It was a rainy Saturday morning, and I gave a call to one of my favorite people, who is a source of mine, and we talked for a good 20, 25 minutes, just on take me through what happened this season, take me through kind of breakdown this player, that player, what do you like about them, where were you not impressed. And that's where I was able to get some really, really good intel about where is Ohio State going to go in the portal? Who's going to return? Who's going to leave? And if you listen to that episode, you heard on that episode a couple weeks later, hey, look, Bruce Thornton, yeah, he should be back. There's a chance he won't return, but it's looking more likely than not that he returns. Sean Stewart is in the same category as Bruce Thornton, where it really feels up in the air right now. Expect John Mobley Jr. back. Expect Devin Royal back. Colin White. Ivan Negavon, expect Aaron Bradshaw out. There's a lot of, we hit on all of these players, which was great. But the curious thing about Sean Stewart throughout literally the Saturday morning before Selection Sunday, where I'm asking questions of, do you guys really, is there any hope that you're going to get in right now? And then I sent some more texts to some more people within the program on Sunday asking again, because the Ohio State fan base was convincing itself essentially that, hey, there's a real shot we could get in. Obviously, it didn't happen. They were in the first four out. We move on. But it's insane to see. It's been about, a month and a half at this point, a little over a month. And from that day, the Saturday before Selection Sunday, all the way to literally yesterday morning at just about this time I'm recording, I had a phone call with this same person. And there was this phrase that continued to come up. No matter what we were talking about, when the conversation was taking place, I spoke with this individual several times over the past month and a half or so. And this same phrase kept coming up. And it said, it was this: if or unless Sean Stewart decides to leave. It came up over and over and over again. And while I had said, expect Sean Stewart to be back, and while Ohio State, as of a couple weeks ago, expected Sean Stewart to be back, still, yesterday morning, the day the portal was closing, still having a conversation with someone who said, unless Sean decides to leave, this is what the roster is going to look like, or unless Sean decides to hit the portal, we're not probably going to grab a player in the front court, and all of those different types of things. And I almost sent a message yesterday in the Substack and said, hey guys, I don't necessarily think this is going to happen, but if there's going to be a surprise today, it's going to be that Sean Stewart enters the portal. And then I even had the hint last night. I think Travis Branham tweeted it from 247 Sports, who said another burger boy is going to enter the portal this evening. And I thought to myself, it's not Sean Stewart, right? It couldn't be. Well, it was Sean Stewart. So across these past several weeks, the conversation, there was always this if Sean Stewart decided to leave. And well, Sean Stewart has decided to leave literally as close to the 11th hour as you can get. Announced at about 9:05, I think, last night that Stewart was entering the portal. So is this a player that the staff was necessarily desperate to keep? No. But you imagine you are in Jake Diebler's shoes, or anyone within the program. You're a teammate of Sean Stewart. Imagine you're in their shoes. And I know there's typically not a lot of bad blood between players. They kind of understand they're all in the same boat at this point. Even Roddy Gale transfers from Ohio State to Michigan. Bruce Thornton and Roddy Gale are still very good friends. So there's not a lot of bad blood between players. But imagine you're on the staff, the coaching staff, you're a scout with the team, or you're a Terrence Dials type, or you're a director of recruiting or something like that. And you had these conversations with Sean Stewart and his representation, whatever that looks like. And you expect him to be back. Over and over and over again, you expect Sean Stewart to be back. And then again, speaking on Tuesday morning, there was nothing confirmed. There was even no hint at Sean Stewart would be leaving Ohio State. It was always this magical if. And then all of a sudden, you find out late on Tuesday that, yeah, he's actually going to enter the portal. Here's the thing. While the coaching staff, they liked what they saw from Sean Stewart last season, and they weren't necessarily thrilled, they weren't over the moon about Sean Stewart, but the conversation, even that Saturday before Selection Sunday on Sean Stewart was, yeah, he played out of position. He had some really tough moments for us, but he was put into a really tough position for us this season. So there were some good moments, there were some bad moments. You weren't necessarily desperate to keep him, but look, you're hours away from the portal closing, and now all of a sudden, you have to fill a spot for, if not a starting player, a first man off the bench player in the front court, kind of out of nowhere. That's frustrating. If you're on the coaching staff, and you don't necessarily see that coming, that's going to be highly, highly, highly frustrating. So, if Sean Stewart would have entered the portal 2 weeks ago, for example, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think the coaching staff really worries about it that much. They've got plenty of time. There's still plenty of players in the portal to go after. Now, that pool has already shrunk. So I think that is something that's definitely a point of contention for the coaching staff at this point. So Stewart enters the portal. Why does he enter the portal? Well, I don't think this is necessarily NIL related. I spoke to one source last night. I had another person text me as well without even reaching out to them who said, this isn't really NIL related. It sounds like this is more looking just for opportunity on the court, which for a basketball player, can you really blame him? If you're going to leave a team, timing-wise beside, if you're going to leave a team, wouldn't you rather them leave because they're looking for more opportunity, they want more playing time than the other usual reason, which is money? I mean, that feels a little less selfish. It feels a little more legitimate, I guess I would say. But doesn't sound like this is really anything off the court. It's more so on the court, where whatever that looks like for Sean Stewart, it may be playing time, it may be minutes, it may be a guaranteed starting spot that Ohio State couldn't promise at this point. It may be being the third option instead of the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth option offensively that he would be this upcoming season at Ohio State. It may be that. I don't know what exactly the answer is, but it also could be that Sean Stewart, his side feels like he can go get more money elsewhere, especially at this time in the portal where there's a lot of talent has dried up. There's not much out there. It could be related to that, where he feels like he can go get more money now. It doesn't really sound like that's the case. It's more so he's looking for the opportunity. Again, the timing here is what really hurts. Now, is this a loss or a gain for Ohio State? Is this addition by subtraction, or is this just subtraction? Well, there were some good and there were some bad with Sean Stewart last year. And a lot of the fan base here, again, polar opposite sides of the spectrum here when it comes to their thoughts on if this is good or bad for Ohio State that Sean Stewart is leaving. Here's the good that Sean Stewart gave to you last season. Rebounding. That's the first thing you think of with Sean Stewart. The athleticism, the vertical leaping ability from Sean Stewart, the ability to go up and get the ball in the air. That was huge for an Ohio State team that was the 18th largest in terms of average height among Big Ten teams last year. Big Ten has 18 teams. Ohio State was dead last and not even close to the 17th best team, which I think might have been Purdue, which is insane because they had Zach Edey. But average height, according to KenPom, Ohio State was dead last. Rebounding was an issue at times for Ohio State. Had they not had Sean Stewart, oh my goodness, they would not have been able to rebound at all. Stewart was 99th percentile in defensive rebounding rate last season. He was 71st percentile in offensive rebounding rate. So above average, pretty good there. Devin Royal was still the leading rebounder for Ohio State last season because he didn't pick up two fouls before the first media timeout as consistently as Sean Stewart did, which of course we'll talk about the fouls. But Stewart was a spectacular rebounder for Ohio State, especially on the defensive glass. You also look at the defensive splash plays that he brought. He was 83rd percentile, both in steal rate and block rate last season for Ohio State. He led the team in blocks per game. So even though you dealt with the fouls, you still got the splash plays. You got him spiking a ball five rows up and bouncing into someone's popcorn, which you'll take. You need a guy like that. You need a guy. Here's the thing. Not only do you need that guy to block the shots because it's exciting, but hey, are we against getting an extra $6 for some popcorn or a pretzel or something? Hey, Ohio State needs the funds, apparently. I don't know. So maybe there's a double-pronged pro there for Sean Stewart blocking shots for Ohio State. The con, he's not going to do that for the Buckeyes next year. So he's big in defensive splash plays. And then he also scored a lot on the fast break. 12.9% of his points came off of the fast break last season. Only Colin White had a higher percentage last year in points off of fast break. And he was second on the team in fast break points per 40 minutes. 0.1 points less than Micah Parrish. Ohio State did not score in transition. They did not score off the fast break last season. So even Sean Stewart's numbers, not really all that impressive. But in terms of share of fast break points scored, across other players on the team, he was up there. He was up there for Ohio State. Now, on the flip side, you would see Sean Stewart jump into a passing lane, steal, and go dunk. And then on the very next possession, you'd see a foul, or he's running the fast break again, he doesn't catch a ball, out of bounds, turnover, whatever the case may be. So Sean Stewart was a player. You had a lot of good moments and a lot of not so good moments. The not so good, obviously the first thing you think about is fouls. I hammered Ohio State all season on the foul trouble that they got themselves into. This was led by the one and the only Sean Stewart. 3.4 personal fouls per game last year. That was tied for fifth worst among all players in Division I NCAA men's college basketball last season. Is that broad enough for you? Among every single player who played, tied for the fifth worst personal fouls per game mark at 3.4. He fouled out in 7 games last season for Ohio State. In 10 other games, he had 4 fouls, which means in over half the games he played for Ohio State last season, he was in severe foul trouble. And for a team that had Michi Johnson Jr. leave after 10 games, nice round number there, for a team that had Colin White, oftentimes, he was hurt all last season. Colin White has not been practicing. He hasn't been doing any basketball activities. He may be this week or last week. He was shut down. He was hurt bad throughout the season. And he gutted it out. Austin Parks missed a lot of time as well in the front court for Ohio State. So you needed Sean Stewart. Micah Parrish missed a game. We've talked about players who have missed games. Devin Royal missed some time. Missed that Indiana game. And you needed the depth. You needed guys to stay out of foul trouble, and Sean Stewart did not help Ohio State in that area. And I know some people say it was unlucky, or, you know, because he was number 13 on Ohio State and officials had seen Sean Stewart get a lot of fouls called on him, it was just assumed he was going to get more fouls called on him. I don't know what the case was. It doesn't really matter, though. The numbers are the numbers. He couldn't stay out of foul trouble. So that was a big issue. The other issue for Sean Stewart, I hate to be harsh, it was offense. When Sean Stewart was on the floor offensively, when did you feel like you were 5-on-5? You never did. It was 4-on-5, or if you had Sean Stewart and Mahaffey on the floor at the same time, it was 3-on-5 for Ohio State. It was always a disadvantage offensively when Sean Stewart was on the floor. He was playing out of position already, but he just didn't have a great feel for the game offensively. The touch really never developed. There were times you thought maybe he was getting there. Never really got there. He certainly couldn't shoot. He couldn't space the floor. So offensively, he did not bring you a lot. He was 1 of 2 from the three-point line. That's not against Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. That's not the final week of the season. No. That's from game one against Texas all the way to that loss to Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. 1 of 2. He took 2 3-pointers. If he had the ball at the three-point line, you could just back your butt into the restricted area because you knew Sean Stewart was not going to be taking that shot. He was going to be passing it, reversing it to the other wing, or dribble handoff. That was it. He was never driving, and he was never shooting. And with that being the case, you would say, okay, gonna need some production out of you at the rim and in the paint. At the rim, he was fine. He had touch at times. At times, he didn't. He was 33% from shots in the paint last season. 33% field goal percentage. Average last year was 41%. So he's 8 points below average, which is a lot, by the way, when it comes to this. And that's just average. That's meh. That's eh. That's ho-hum. He's 33% in the paint. So you really didn't get much from Sean Stewart offensively. Where was he in terms of scoring on the team? I think it was, what, fourth? Let me check. Fifth? Scoring average? I don't even know. Let's find out together, courtesy of College Basketball Analytics, who currently isn't sponsoring the show because we're not in the season, but they might be back. You never know. Still highly, highly encourage you to use them. So points per game last season, Bruce Thornton, Devin Royal, Micah Parrish, John Mobley Jr., Michi Johnson, Aaron Bradshaw, and then Sean Stewart. So Sean Stewart was, what, seventh here? You can take out Michi Johnson. He scored less points per game than Aaron Bradshaw. And Aaron Bradshaw was a player who was never going to return to Ohio State, considered the NBA draft route, and wanted to come back to Ohio State. Buckeyes didn't want him. Finally entered the portal when he realized, well, Ohio State doesn't want him. He's the guy with his hands in his pocket. He's Will Smith. Why doesn't anyone want me? Standing in his living room all by himself. But now Aaron Bradshaw may have a living room in Memphis. So good luck to him. So all that to say, Sean Stewart offensively did not bring a lot. Defensively, he did bring some, but he struggled with fouls. And at the end of the day, if you're trying to answer the question, is this a loss? Is this addition by subtraction? Look, I don't know that we can answer that at this point. And I'm sorry, I know that's not really the answer that you're necessarily looking for at this point. You probably would rather me be more definitive and more opinionated. Right now, we just don't know. I know there's people who say there's no way you're going to get a player of Sean Stewart's caliber out of the portal at this point. Well, a subscriber sent a pretty good point this morning, I would have to say. He said, this is just me making an assumption, but I would imagine Ohio State is pretty appealing to portal prospects at this point due to the amount of playing time we have available at wing and forward spots now. Other teams' rotations have mostly filled up, and we still have a few key spots to fill. I think that's a good point. Seth Baldwin, sorry, I hope it's okay. I shout you out. Thanks for subscribing, by the way. Thanks if you are a paid subscriber on the Substack. Thank you there. I think it's a good point, though. I think Ohio State has a chance here to make up for Sean Stewart's loss because, number one, you now have real NIL funds that are freed up. And that's something that one source really wanted me to say, I think, this morning, is that Ohio State has real money that it can spend now, and you can go out and get a good player. The other thing at this point is, yeah, I think you're right, Seth. As you look at the way this team is set up, I guess I would say, you're looking at Ohio State right now, number one, number two are set in stone, Bruce Thornton and John Mobley Jr. The three could be Devin Royal. I guess it could be Brandon Knoll. I'm continued to wonder about that, and it's something that I think the coaching staff is wondering. Sean Stewart could have been the four. Tilly's the five. You've got three starters that are locked in, and that was even if Sean Stewart was returning. Yesterday I was told you've got Thornton, you've got Mobley, and you've got Tilly starting. At the three and the four, you don't know. Now that Stewart is not back, you've now lost a player that was at least in the conversation for starting. So that's not good for Ohio State, but it means that those top players that are in the portal right now have a lot of opportunity at Ohio State, and the Buckeyes have the funds to get you there. So if that's the case, while yesterday morning at this time, I think I even sent a message out about an hour later in the Substack, hey, look, Ohio State's still going to go try to land one more player. it's not going to be a third, fourth, fifth option for Ohio State. It's probably going to be a seventh, eighth, ninth option for Ohio State. That's changed now. With the subtraction of Sean Stewart, Ohio State can go after some more heavy hitters. So I think the question there is, immediately for me, and I asked this last night, the answer back to me was, I don't know yet. But I asked, hey, could you be back in for Kennard Davis Jr., the player who visited Ohio State and visited DePaul and had this weird TV hit, local TV, where he's going to visit DePaul and visit Miami, and this is all about NIL for him. I think his dad, I've heard, is driving this decision. I don't know if that's true or not. In all the pictures, I won't say that. Are they back in for Kennard Davis Jr.? I can tell you Ohio State really wanted him. They really, really wanted him, but they did not have the NIL money to get there. They just didn't. And that's why when DePaul offered $50,000 more, it was, all right, thanks, guys. I'm going to DePaul. And then LSU offered a bag. And then he said, all right, see you later, DePaul. I'm going to go to LSU. And now it sounds like LSU is cooling off on Kennard Davis Jr. So again, his recruitment has been so weird. You typically don't go an entire month being in the portal and then leak info of, hey, these are the teams that have been in contact with me recently. That's just not how it goes. Like, that's how it goes the same day that you enter the portal at times, or a couple days after, not a month after. A month after, you're committed or you've reached your final three or four or something like that. You're not leaking, hey, these are the teams who have been in touch with me most recently. That doesn't make any sense. So Kennard Davis Jr., he's had a weird recruitment. Ohio State really wanted him. They really wanted him at the three. Now I think this isn't any guiding information. I think that could put them back in play for Kennard Davis Jr. I'm not saying they'll get him. I'm saying there's at least a better possibility than there was last night about 8:30 p.m. There's other players that have been linked to Ohio State over the past 24, 48 hours. Baba Miller out of FAU. Federico out of Texas Tech. I would really, really like that fit. Nana Owusu Anane out of Brown, committed to SMU, then decommitted from SMU. He 3 years at Brown, really good numbers there. And of course, Blake Harper. It's a big name out of Howard. Blake Harper was interesting. So out of completely nowhere, we get a tweet from John Rossine. Blake Harper, his representation at Clutch Sports, says that it's Creighton, Howard, a return to Howard, LSU, or Ohio State. And immediately I sent a text, hey, congrats, you're in the top four for this guy. No one had even heard that Ohio State was linked to him. And come to find out, Ohio State had no idea that they were going to be in the top four for Blake Harper. And then I asked the next morning, yesterday, like, what's the deal with him? How do you feel? He's like, I don't know. We got no idea where we're at with Blake Harper. So he could be in play for Ohio State. I don't know. Ohio State doesn't know, at least last time I checked. But all that to say, there's opportunity now. Whenever you have any kind of situation like this where there's upheaval, where there's chaos, you got the chance. You get the chance to make this chaos and turn it into something good. It could be the opposite. Could be the reverse. And Jake Diebler, jury's still out. Maybe he doesn't have a plan. And maybe the coaching staff is sipping on their coffee this morning and eating away on their Buckeye donuts. Shout out Connor Lamont's. And they're saying, well, what the heck do we do now? I highly doubt that's actually, I know that's not the case. But this is a chance for the coaching staff. This is a chance for the program to take a step forward this year. And now with the loss of Sean Stewart, you have the opportunity to go find new talent. To go find a player who can fit you better, who can space the floor. At the end of the day, you need rebounding and you need rim protection because that's what Sean Stewart provided. And I'm not sure that Christoph Tilley or Devin Royal or, I don't know, Amari Bynum or Ivan Nagamon are going to be ready to step up and do that for Ohio State. So you need to find that at this point. So that's why I personally would really, really love Federico out of Texas Tech. I'd love that fit there from Pitt to Texas Tech. By way of, I think Finland would love that fit for Ohio State. We'll see. But here's the thing. I would expect them to get involved with more names today. The transfer portal officially closed. You may hear, I think programs have 48 hours to process the request for a player to enter the portal. So you may hear a few new names today and tomorrow. The portal's closed, but decisions may have been made, and we're just waiting to file paperwork. Whatever the heck that means. This isn't 1982. We're not faxing stuff, are we? Maybe we are at this point, but I'm assuming it's all done electronically. Regardless, some players are going to get added to the portal that has not been made public yet, so we'll see what that leads to for Ohio State, but I do think they're going to get in the game for some players that they initially couldn't land because they weren't there financially. Now those funds have opened up again, so we'll see what they do. Would encourage you again to subscribe. If you've made it all the way through to this point, subscribe to the show. Would appreciate that. Thanks for following along this offseason. We'll continue to cover the Buckeyes. Maybe a new commitment comes in the coming days. Maybe new news comes in the coming days. We'll be here to cover all of that with you. Make sure you're subscribed. Give a 5-star review. Check out viewsfromtheshotpodcast.substack.com. Viewsfromtheshotpodcast.substack.com. Enter it once. Subscribe there. You can do it for completely free. If you want a free trial, I'm happy to give it to you. And you can get in there as well for some more nuggets and notes and all those types of things. We'll see where the Buckeyes go. There is opportunity. Will the Buckeyes seize it? We will see. Appreciate you following along today, listening along today, wherever you are. Hope you enjoy your Wednesday if you're just getting started, and enjoy the rest of your week. For now, I shut up before you shut me off. Go Bucks.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.